Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today? Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Know how it goes, shout out OCT. No real cap, call out what we see. Whole game ready, ball of blitz on three. No, you can't stand on it on 2 feet. I already know you can't ball with me. Cause I brought up with the squad and me. They get a letter, they calling me. Ball alert. Ball alert. Ball alert. Ball alert.
Ball alert. Welcome to the Ball Alert Show podcast, available everywhere you get your podcasts. Please continue to like, subscribe, and share our YouTube page at Baller Alert TV. I go by the name of Ferrari Simmons.
I go by the name, you know, BT.
OCT, what up?
Money Log in the building.
Hey! Gangsta Grill.
Money Long, Grammy Award winner. Money Long.
Love that for me.
Yeah, I love that for you too. Cause you have a journey you've been on.
I have.
You know what I'm saying? How are you feeling though? Like, I know you've been diagnosed with lupus, and you know, you just recently said you had autism. Like, how is that? How are you doing?
I mean, I'm still doing me. You gotta keep it pushing, you know. I think one thing that keeps me on the right path is just like knowing that everybody has their own journey and their own unique experience, and it's my life and it's my responsibility to make the best of it. Sometimes it does get a little tough because it's like I have so much success based on like the standard, right, status quo, that when I have my moments when I am down, it's hard for people to relate, and so they be like, girl. So I have to kind of struggle through those moments on my own sometimes. Mm-hmm. But God don't give you more than you can carry.
Yeah. And I've learned a lot about lupus through like Toni Braxton and people who have it, like those type of celebrities. And they say it inflames, like if you're worked up or if you're, you know, too excited. Have you had any flare-ups due to things like that?
Absolutely. Mostly mine are like in my hands and joints. So sometimes I can't really like open things, as you saw. But yeah, it's funny because it's like, it's a catch-22 because with something like an autoimmune that is stress-related, it's best if you don't talk about it. But yet, if you don't talk about it, there's no representation. Mm. You know, so it's tough. I gotta choose moments when I'm feeling good, when there isn't anything happening, like right now, where I'll share. And then sometimes I'm just like, yeah, you know, I don't really want to talk about it right now because I'm kind of going through it. But I think, you know, keeping your stress level down, staying positive, eating right, getting sleep, and just not putting yourself in scenarios where you could be triggered, that's really the key.
Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of support from your family and husband?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really ask for much. Mm-hmm. Very self-sufficient, independent. I like to be by myself. So when I do, they just give it to me. You know, it's like, Dad, can you make me a grilled cheese? You know? So yeah, I'm very blessed.
That's
in
good.
That aspect.
Now, if we could take it back a little bit, you're from Gifford, Florida, yes, which is right by Vero Beach, a little bit South Florida.
They pushing the boundary, the border.
What do you say you from? You say you from
Gifford.
Okay.
Yeah, it's becoming smaller and smaller.
I'm a Florida guy, and I literally had to look that up. Like last
I was gonna
week.
Say, you
like,
know
yeah,
where
you
it's
got
at?
Money long. I was like, yeah.
Where's where it? Where are you South from in Florida?
I'm from West Palm Beach.
Okay, so it's like an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's not too far.
How you don't know about Gifford?
Because I've been to Vero, but I didn't know right on top of Vero, it's
okay. Gifford. So we like a train track community, you know, like okay. They put MLK train tracks and the Dollar General in the hood, and then right across the train track is the beach. Mm-hmm. So there's literally people from where I'm from that have never
been across
been
the train
beach.
Track.
Oh, that's crazy.
Like 10 minutes down the street.
Wow.
Because it's a different neighborhood.
Right.
You know, it's literally like driving, hood, Section 8 housing, you know what I'm saying? And then train track, and then boom, mansions.
So how was it like for you growing up on your side, on that side of the tracks? Because I know somebody sang in the family. Mom?
My mom sang, yeah.
Dad was in the Navy?
My biological father. My stepfather worked for the Sheriff's Department for many years, I think 20 plus. He still teaches.
In the town, Gifford?
Mm-hmm, yep. I don't know. I actually grew up all over the United States in my younger years. It wasn't until I was about 14... that we moved to Gifford, which my mother's hometown, where she was raised, is Wabasso, is 20 minutes down the street. And I grew up on a farm, and I was very much like, if I was hungry, you'd just go pick an orange off the tree. So I didn't really have an actual concept of, like, status or, like, we struggling, because we literally lived off the land. But... you know, I didn't have no Jordans or nothing like that. Like, we didn't have designer clothes, you know. We definitely was shopping at JCPenney, you know, buy one, get one for 88 cents. Jeans. So, I don't know. I was very oblivious. It wasn't until I got older that I realized, like, wait a minute. That's not right, you know. I don't know. My mom did a good job with keeping us shielded from that kind of stuff.
Us as in your siblings.
Yes, I have two brothers.
Two brothers.
Yeah.
Older?
One older, one younger, and I had a stepbrother. He passed away years ago. So, yeah, I'm the only girl.
Oh, wow. So you was out there, you know, was you milking cows and stuff, too?
Or? We had no cows, but I did feed the chickens.
Okay.
We used to fish in the pond.
Okay.
We had geese. I had a pet hog.
Pet hog.
Yeah.
They are pretty smart.
Yeah, well, they killed them and roasted them.
Damn!
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Do you slaughter chickens too?
No, I don't slaughter chickens. We don't do that. I did have to learn how to gut fish.
Okay.
When I was younger, because again, we live off the land, so
yeah.
You wasn't allowed. You had to eat what you kill.
Okay.
So if you kill it, you got to eat it.
Okay.
You know how to skin a fish?
I do, and I don't. I don't particularly
When's
enjoy.
The last time you did that? That was a while back.
Oh yeah. Long time ago. We used to shoot squirrels.
Oh, my God.
And we had to eat it. Y'all squirrel gumbo?
Not squirrel. Just throw it on the grill.
But yeah. Like you said, once you, you know, hit your teenage years and stuff like that, you was in, like, a sheltered space with your parents and at home and stuff like that. But then you got on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And you started to do your thing in 2004, right?
2004 was my first video. Yes. Wow. You did your research again.
Like you said, you were sheltered, so it's like, you know, I don't think many people, you did sleepovers or slumber parties or nothing like that. You know, people on the internet now have friends, like fans who are online, and that's kind of like what you kind of started doing at that time. You know, how did that shape you as far as doing your music in 2004?
I think it's kind of like two separate things. I think one, my mom didn't let me do nothing. Diddly squat. I remember one time this boy asked me to the movies for Valentine's Day, and we've known each other since we were like seven, and he finally was like, yo, can we go to the movies? So I told my mom, I got all dressed, I had on my pink and red. She drove me to the movie theater. The boy came up to the car, he had chocolate, a bear, flowers, aww, balloons, whole nine yards. Like, you know, Miss Sheila, I was just going to let her pick the movie. And my mom was like, okay, 1 second. She rolled the window up. She said, y'all think y'all slick. You know, and mind you, I'm so, like, not even
thinking about your green tooth a little bit.
So, I'm so green. Yeah. I was just excited that she was letting me do something. Tell me about this lady rolled down the window and said, you at the movies. Tell them bye. And drove off. And the boy was standing there, like, with the flowers, like, one little tear coming down my eye.
It's like a movie.
So literally, for real. And I was so upset and so hurt. But that was my life. She didn't let me do nothing. So I think the computer became my escape, mm-hmm. right? Because I could talk to people. Yeah. I could make videos and respond to comments. And I did develop relationships with some of my supporters. I still talk to this day from years ago. This one girl named Laquita, she's buying me gifts and stuff. I'm invite her to my shows. You know, it's just like we do create a genuine bond and connection with our fans sometimes. And it's hard to do that now because people be like
trolling,
pushing it a little bit, like telling me what I need to do and talking to me crazy. And you forget, like, somebody said something like, I was going to beat your ass if you didn't. I said, who was going to be what? You know what I'm saying? Like,
if you didn't sing my favorite song,
she said,
usually at the concert.
No, they be pushing it. So sometimes I'll be having to, like, go in. Like, I went in on this girl on TikTok the other day. She couldn't take it, though, so I had to erase what I said because I'm like, okay, people are laughing at her a little too much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know how that feels, so I'm going to just take it down and give her a break. But I have to do that sometimes to let people
what
know.
What did she
like,
say?
She was just like, girl, you doing too much. You're a celebrity. People gonna tell you what to do, you know? And I was like, I'm not gonna say what I said, but I basically gave her a taste of her own medicine.
Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
she couldn't handle it.
Most fans can. A lot of people are just internet people and they just comment. You know, and a lot of people probably don't think that you're actually gonna see their comment.
They don't. They don't think that I'm gonna say anything back. They expect me to be scary. They also don't expect me to have the personality that I have, because I'm from Florida. Like we can't nobody talk junk like somebody from Florida. If you piss me off, I'm calling you all types of roly poly neck turtle head. you know, if I'm Whitney, I'm Bobby and Whitney, minus all the extras. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm very much like somebody asked me the other day, like, what R&B songs am I listening to in my car? I'm like, I'm listening to Big Dude. I'm listening to Moneybag. I'm listening to Key Glock. I ain't listening to that.
Yeah. Well, you'll be listening to R&B.
I make R&B. I don't listen to it.
Is that like a cleanse for your ears sometimes? Because you just hear it, you write it?
No, I just want to jump on my bed and throw things like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember for like a year straight, I would put on BMF, Rick Ross. And that was my alarm.
They come beat me.
Literally, like, I'll be in the bed asleep, and all of a sudden, it's like, boom, boom. I think I'm Big Meech every morning. Yeah. And that's how,
I think if people, you know, heard your story, like, as far as you growing up, you was outside, you know, skinning fish, you know, playing with hogs, you know.
Shooting
you
raccoons. Really, squirrels.
Yeah, squirrels.
I'm still
squirrels.
I'm not over you. You had a pet hog, and then they killed it, and y'all ate it. Damn.
She a thug.
I didn't eat it the first day.
So that wasn't a pet.
He was my pet. But they tricked me into feeding it and fattening it up and making me feel like, you know, I used to come home every day from school and be like, hey, Powder, talk to him. And he was a wild hog. So he used to.
Powder was fat, huh?
It was a big freaking animal. And he would charge at the fence for anybody else, but for me, he was nice. He would walk over and, like, you know, talk to me. And he had these big tusks, and I would go in the house and get the, we had an empty chitlin bucket that we used to put our scraps in. So I'd get the slop bucket, put it in a trough, and sit there and talk to him. And one day I came home and the cage was empty.
Uh-oh.
And mind you, my grandparents lived on 4 acres, so it was huge.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk in, I go straight to the cage. He's not there. I go in the house. I'm like, Granddaddy, what Powder? He took me to the window. It was a big, long window in the front of the house. And he pointed. to the edge of the yard. So his cage is over here. He pointed over here. And Powder was there roasting on a spit.
Dang.
And I just remember falling out being like, no!
Not Powder!
I remember calling my mama like, mama, they didn't kill Powder. And she said, well, don't eat. So I didn't. The first day I did not eat.
But you ate the second day.
The second day I was hungry.
Did he taste good?
It was so good. Yeah, he's with me forever.
Did you ever write a song about Powder?
I didn't. Oh. No, it's too much.
We'll be right back with more of the Baller Alert Show.
The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today? Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're listening to a special edition of the Baller Alert Show.
What's up? It's your girl Money Long, and you are now tuned in to the Baller Alert Show.
I do want to acknowledge the fact that you were doing all this, and this was dope. I don't want to say it's dope eating powder or dope, you know, your mom leaving the boy, the young man at the movie theater. So when did music come into play? Was mom singing all the time in the house, and
all
then
the
you
time.
Started singing too, and she was like, oh god, you can sing? Or
she says she knew I could sing at 2 years old.
Really?
We used to live in Connecticut, and there was this commercial that used to play. I actually remember this too. And it would go, Spirit of Hampton Road, like, you know, it was like a airport commercial or something like that.
A jingle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she heard me doing that one day, and she looked, but the TV was off. So she knew that it was me.
Nice.
And there was always music in the house. My biological father played the trumpet. We had pianos in every house that we were in, upright piano. My mom was always singing. There was always music playing. She used to have like those CD towers full. She had like three of them. So it was like always music. Every in the car, she had the CD book. So, I mean, it was just kind of like, I thought everybody could do it because that's just how we were in our house. Even my grandma be, you know, humming and cooking. My biological father also could sing. He had like one of those like high pitched Temptations, you know.
Stylistics.
This was common.
Yes.
In the house,
yes. And then even writing songs, like I wrote my first song when I was 8. And I remember I was vacuuming. And I just walking down the highway, looking at the skyway. And my brother was like, what song is that? I was like, I made it up. He's like, no, you didn't. And I was like, yes, I did. We started arguing. So we went to my mom, and my mom was like, well, I never heard it before. And then she bought me a composition notebook, and I started making my own songs. I just thought everybody did that. And it wasn't until I started sharing it online, like 15, 16 years old, that people were like, Were you be making that stuff up? Really? Even now, people still do that to me when I come up with something. They be like, you just wrote that right now? So, I guess it's just my gift.
Yeah, everybody's not that talented.
So, you're writing the songs, you know, you're on the internet. 2008, you decided to go to L.A. What decided that in your mind? I'm going to go to L.A. and do this thing.
I think I had reached a ceiling here in Atlanta. My first record deal, the guy who signed me, him and his lawyer made more money than me on the first record deal I had. And so eventually that money ran out very quickly, actually. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, damn, you know, what am I going to do? I found out about songwriting and I was like, well, I don't want to go back to Gifford because there ain't nothing to do there, but, you know, have babies. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. And get married, have babies, and, you know, be a mom. Which there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not what I wanted. And so I was like, well, let me go to L.A., do some sessions. Had no idea that I was going to grow in notoriety so fast as a songwriter. But when I got out there, I was doing like 5 sessions a day, every day, 2 songs minimum in every session. My first session, I got a placement with this UK artist named Cheryl Cole. That went number 1 over there. And then after that, it was just like Selena Gomez, who says, Chris Brown, don't wake me up, Rihanna. It was like boom, boom, boom. You know, but I think it was just because I was working so much that I had it was like the ratio of songs I had to choose from made it possible for me to have that kind of like snowball.
Are you married at this time, a relationship?
Engaged? I'm married, yeah. I've been married for 9 years.
Okay. So you got married when? Like, where were you?
2015.
Where were you then? In Florida?
California.
You were in California?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So how was that like? Because, you know, being married is not easy. That's a whole different job. Yes, definitely. Happily married, but she crazy and I'm crazy. So this is a little lit. So I'm just saying, marriage is a job.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much communication that needs to be happening. And someone like you that has a crazy schedule, and then I'm not sure, you know, who your husband is, but how is that conversation with him when you guys are communicating, like, hey, you know, I have to go to the studio. And you might be on all day.
I think there has to just be a mutual respect, right? Because it's like, I've been working to get to this moment for 17 years. Mm. You know, you wouldn't want to stop the person that you love from doing something that they're obviously, you know, blessed with. That is my gifting. But I definitely made it very clear, like, you're not stopping nothing. I'm going to work. That's what I'm going to do. And I think also too, it's just like, there's no formula. There's no one size fit all. You have to communicate. You have to, make time for what's important to you, and you can't be prideful, which I think that stops a lot of people sometimes from thriving in their relationships, because, you know, you don't want to admit when you mess up, you don't want to be soft, be vulnerable, and also the death of relationships is trying to please anybody else outside of the two of you. You know, if you're doing things for your boys, if you're doing things for the general public, the perception, you already lost. It has to be a real genuine respect, mutual connection, respect, communication, maturity, all that.
And he seemed supportive of you. He named your label.
He came up with the name, yeah. But also, too, I think that's part of it, right? Like, sometimes it's just kind to, like, allow your partner to feel...
included.
As if, yeah, like, of course I don't need anyone to name anything or write anything, but, you know, if he comes up with a name and it's cool, why not?
For facts.
You know,
be like,
saying?
Sure, I got you.
Well, that's hot. Yeah, I'm gonna use that. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, versus being like, no thanks. Like, it's counterproductive.
Yeah.
There's no purpose for me to do that. And that's with anything, like hairstyle, nails, outfit, you know, video treatment. Like, if you have a dope idea, why not share?
Do you guys find time to date each other?
It's a little tough. But I mean, again, every day is what you make it. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy with walking around the block. Like, yeah, I'm happy with that.
That counts.
You know, or just sitting outside looking at the stars or Netflix and chill. Like, I'm very simple.
How did he get you? Or how did you get him? How did y'all get each other?
You know, I honestly don't even... I just remember liking...
A pic on Instagram?
His... No.
Oh,
that's why I thought you was going too.
No, I just remember liking the fact that he was taking care of me, like, health-wise. Mm. So, you know, we were working out a lot. I had, like, holistic medicines and stuff. He was making sure I would take it because sometimes I'm not the best with remembering to take my medicine. So those were the things that made me be like,
You really care about me.
Yeah.
You really love me.
Okay. I know you mentioned in one of your interviews about industry grooming and things like that. Can you just shed light on that a little bit?
I think as I grow, just like as a woman in maturity, as a creative, I realized that every single thing I went through was tempering me, you know, for where I'm at now. Like, I was not prepared at any other time or moment before now. I wasn't ready. And also, as I grow in wisdom, I'm able to see people, like, really see them. And I can tell, like, who knows themselves, who's being authentic, who is being led by an external locus of control, meaning you are moved by outside opinions other than your own that do not originate from self. And then internal locus of control, meaning you get your... guidance from your intuition, your gut, what's on your heart. I call it the God whisper. You know, when you get that instinct to, like, grab your coat before you walk out the door, and then you grab it and then it rains, or, you know, you get the instinct, like, I don't know why someone's telling me to bring these flip-flops, but I'm gonna bring them. And then you end up needing it. That's the God whisper. That's what I call it. A lot of times people ignore it, but when you get to a certain place of, like, trusting that and understanding those are little taps from God, from the universe, from your angels, guiding you in the right direction, you learn how to operate in that. And so I can recognize when somebody's doing that. I think when I was younger, I didn't have that. So I was trusting and putting my faith in other people. So...
You need a tissue or
appreciate
something?
You sharing.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I appreciate you sharing.
I know that you are signed now, right? Def Jam or Zerdil?
I have a partnership with Def Jam. I'm signing myself.
Partnership is dope.
Yeah. I know that Hours and Hours helped that, right? The single?
I think the Hours and Hours was the tipping point, but I had already built a catalog, a nice little like catalog of about 30 songs. And a bunch of them were doing really well in terms of independency. Like, I had multiple songs that were hitting a million.
For yours, yourself,
yes,
under your name,
yes.
Money Long. Okay.
And so Hours and Hours, obviously, that's my biggest song. I think it's got 500 million streams.
Wow.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, you're almost a billionaire in the stream.
Right. Well, I received the other one, too.
Yeah, thanks.
me, too.
Yeah, so I think... It was definitely Hours and Hours, but I think what the reason why I was able to get what I was able to get as far as partnership and revenue share and all that is because they saw, like, it's not just a one hitter quitter. Like, she has built, she's going somewhere with her brand, she has identity. And I think the true test came recently with, like, can she do it again? Mm. You know, was it just lightning in a bottle? Was it just luck? And I think with Made For Me, now is doing the same thing, is going viral on TikTok. We got number one at Urban Radio. We just released a video yesterday, so if you haven't seen that, go check that on YouTube.
Featuring Luke James.
Featuring Luke James, directed by Trinidad James.
Hey.
And Des Gray. Mm-hmm. And I think they're seeing, like, oh, wow, she does know what she's talking about. She does know what she's doing. And it's not any specific formula. It's just the relationship that I have created with my supporters. It took a lot more groundwork, right? I actually have to individually like every comment, respond with a genuine response not just like a emoji. Like,
thank you for saying this. Keep going.
Yeah, like I have to actually
dropping gems,
man. Really,
you're dropping gems right now.
I mean, it's just, this is just real. Like, this is how I'm doing it.
Yeah,
I'm actually, imagine, this is what I was saying to my manager Shaka. He's over there. I was like, him and Jeff, what the music industry has done, in essence, is put the power in the hands of the creator demographic, your niche. It's not you, the creator. You don't have the power, and neither does the label. Where you get the power is, imagine if you're in a stadium and it's the field is crowded. Imagine you, the star player, walking through that crowd and not getting attacked, not getting touched, not getting hounded. If you can do that, then you are the captain of the ship. There's not a lot of artists who can do that. Nicki Minaj can do it, you know.
Kanye.
Kanye can do it. But it's very hard, and it's like, you have to be so like confident in who you are to be able to control that space.
I understand.
You're at a spiritual level, you got to be able to push your aura out to let people know, like, yes, I'm here, I'm with you, we're in this together. Hey, how are you? You're beautiful. Oh my gosh. Like, and you really, it has to be genuine, because people can smell the fear.
Can't fake that either.
You can't fake it. So I think where my power comes from is I really know my audience. I really know what they want to see from me, what they want to hear. And I protect it. I do not let, you know, sometimes people at the label will be like, oh, can you do this? And can you duet this? And can you make a post about this? I'm like, that's whack. They're going to know, you know, that it's not me. And it's not to say that people's ideas are whack. It's just they know my voice and they can tell when I'm trying to sell them something, or when I really am genuinely like, y'all, I found this lotion. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it drives my value up, because I'm only going to advertise and stand behind things that I actually believe in. So when I do speak about something, you know, oh, I'm going to go get that, because she don't just be feeding us, you know, force feeding us stuff. But it takes longer, because I have to actually vet these things and, you know, try things out and spend my own money. And, you know, before I bring it to my people, I have to have worn it.
Yeah.
You know, so it takes longer, it takes more resources, and it's not like the cool route. You know what I'm saying? Where like a lot of these influencers, they're wearing and testing the hottest stuff as it's, you know, blowing up. Is about timing for me. And finding the right partnerships. But in the end, at the end of it, I'm creating this foundation that is very strong, and you can't, it's not shakeable, it's unshakable. So like, if I do mess up and I have a moment that isn't so great, it's overshadowed by all the times that I made the right choices. Mm-hmm. And I'm fine with that. Like, my goal was never to be famous. It's to be able to express myself at a high level for a very long time until I get tired of it. And of course, being successful and having brand recognition and people knowing who I am visually, and knowing who I am as a personality, helps to be able to do that, to bring in more opportunities. But that's not the goal. So I think, as I said before, I wasn't ready before now. I wouldn't have been able to understand that, you know, 10 years ago.
Do you think this power came from when you stepped out of Priscilla and into Money Long?
I think so in that transition period, yes, but it didn't have anything to do with music. It was just, I had asked a old friend of mine, Wilmer Valderrama. I don't know if you guys watch that 70s show. He's Fez, foreign exchange student. And of course, he's grown. He's done. He's on like NCIS now. But I asked him a long time ago. I was like, Wilmer, how do you know when it's time to grow up? I think I was like 20 when I asked him this. And he was like, when you get tired of making the same mistakes over and over, you start changing things and tweaking things and doing things differently. And that really hit me. I had to think about it for a long time. Like, what do you mean? What do he mean by that? And so I started watching how I talk about myself, watching how I talk about others, watching when you get that little envious feeling when you see somebody doing something that you wish you were doing, changing the momentum of that thought into like a, so now instead, when I see somebody doing something that I want to be doing, I don't even feel envy anymore. I'm remembering to say, That's for me. I would love to experience that, you know? And so you're calling these things into your experience with a positive polarization versus like the opposite of that would be, dang, how come it, you know, it never works out for me. Man, I get right there. It's always something. You got to watch that. You can't talk like that. Mm-hmm. And it takes literally, you have to brainwash yourself. So I was listening to self-help books, meditations, ask-formations. So basically affirmations in the form of a question like, why am I so successful? Why does everything always happen for me so easily? Why is my bank account so full? You know, things like that. Before I go to sleep, first thing in the morning, I'm listening to my books. I'm turning on. There's so much stuff on YouTube, like for free. Therapy, Reiki.
A lot of stuff, yeah.
Facts. Yeah, so like I did a very holistic like rebranding as well internally, and then what you guys see is the product of that, very surface level, you know, how I dress, how I talk, my music, my videos, but there's so much more deeper work that I've been doing.
You said you had that conversation with Fez. Well, he's not really Fez, but at 20 and 21, you became a millionaire, mm-hmm. or you made your first million. This is the Baller Alert Show, and just to touch on the financial aspect of it, can you just shed some light on financial decisions and when you get into making money?
I mean, I think I've seen so many interviews where like people will share when they first started getting money, they blew it.
Yeah.
And I definitely blew a lot, not understanding just how business works and taxes and what you can write off and what you can't, and rent and loaning people money and, you know, thinking
That's
you're going to get it back
thing.
And you never will. You don't get it back. They don't give it back.
Yeah, we just had ATL Jacob. Yeah, he blew his money. Like,
he blew
Future told him,
like,
you was going to blow it.
Yeah, ATL Jacob said that Future said every person in the industry that makes a lot of money goes broke the first time around. Mm-hmm.
Second, third. Because it's like, you think that when you get this amount of money, it's going to change your life. When you get this car, when you get this jewelry, when you get... That's what you think. And then when you get it, you realize like, oh, wait, you know, that has nothing to do with it. And that's why you like, you know, you'll see people who are really wealthy wearing flannel shirts and Birkenstocks. Because it's like, eh, none of that stuff really matters. It's just, money is just a means to be able to maneuver in the world. So like, if I want to get up at 2 a.m. and fly to Dubai, I need to make enough money where I can do that. And the rules do not apply to me because I make my own magic. And the only reason why I understand that is because I've tried it every other way, right? So, like, as much as you don't want your baby, I don't know if you have kids, as much as you might not want your baby to touch that hot stove, they gotta touch it to see, that's why you don't do that,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, like, there is something very in the humanness of, like, existence, right? If that doesn't even make sense, but you get what I'm saying. There is just something about us where we gotta see for ourselves and experience it for ourselves. There is no better teacher than experience. It doesn't matter how much I tell you, that's not gonna turn out good. You're not until you, you know, it don't matter how much your mama tell you or your sister or whoever be like, man, treat that girl right. Do the right thing. Until you lose her, you're not gonna get it. You're not going to understand.
That's true.
And so I would just say, man, that's like, if you plan on being really successful, plan on losing. Plan on losing. You will. But get back up. Like, get back up. Don't let that stop you. I failed. I can't even tell you how many times. But I got back up. And I'm like, well, you know, what else am I going to do?
Is that why you made your name Money Long? Money long?
It's long definitely money. An affirmation for sure.
Because it looks, when you look at it, you say, oh, it's Mooney Long,
mm-hmm.
but it's Money Long.
Yes.
Why? M-U-N-I.
You know, just want to be different.
Okay.
Also, there was nobody else with that name. It was nowhere. It did not exist. When I first changed my name. Now if you go online, there's a bunch. I Googled it. I always do that. I do that with like song titles. Any ideas I might have, I Google to make sure that it doesn't exist so that I can own it. But yeah, I just
It's a bunch of money loans on the internet?
Now, yeah.
Oh.
I want to know, how do you approach a song when you're writing?
Good question.
I'm channeling, so almost like a freestyle.
Okay.
Most of the time.
Do you have to be there with the producer making it from scratch too? Or
I don't something? Have to. That's ideal though. That's the ideal. So that's what I've been doing on this project. But now I can do it to a track. Like with Hours and Hours, that was a beat I found on YouTube. I was washing dishes and I was like extremely bored because I hate cleaning up.
Found that beat on YouTube.
Found that beat.
Bought it.
That's a long story.
Oh.
Yeah, because I bought it, but the producer didn't actually have the right to sell it to me.
Oh,
so
my
it turned into a huge thing. But we're not gonna talk about it.
I gotta give you your flowers on that song because that's a very slow song. I'm a DJ, and in Atlanta, you had to play that in the club, and it's the slowest.
You know,
song.
I still haven't heard that song in the club.
You haven't heard the song in the club.
I heard it in Magic City, but
even when you went to Ladies of R&B,
but I mean, like in the club, like
everybody's
singing it at the top of their lungs. Oh, I've never, because during the peak of it was COVID.
Oh, you know, Atlanta was
and
open.
I was not going outside.
Atlanta was open.
So,
but
yeah.
I was in LA.
You can't be compromised at all.
I was not going outside.
I understood.
I got
people were trying to book me. They was getting mad, like, yo. We got this money for you.
Yeah,
I'm like, you also got the COVID.
You
also have the COVID.
But you know, you can't play with lupus. That's an autoimmune
understood.
Disease. Right. Like, you cannot do that.
Understood.
Yes, because then I'll be in the hospital bed and
hours.
All I was trying to do was smoke hookah. It's not. Atlanta has a hookah problem. I'm sorry.
What's wrong with that?
Listen,
well, you know, there's a lot of Africans here. That's
I seen somebody at the bus stop with a hookah. At the bus stop, fam.
You had the portable ones now.
No, it wasn't a portable one. It was a glass with the foil at the bus stop.
I think that priorities was a little
home
bit
of the
that's the home. That's the whole Atlanta. Mind you, I live in L.A. I've been there for a decade.
Ain't no hookah out there.
Yes, it is.
Where
it is?
In the sense that you would go to like the Mediterranean spot or the halal spot.
Yeah.
And then you could do hookah at night. They give it to you with like milk to make it smoother.
Mm-hmm.
They put like the fruit around the rim.
You know what you're talking about over
and
there.
And it's the shisha.
Yeah,
shisha.
Which
yep.
is
shisha.
Like the gelled tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, they not giving you shisha. You're getting regular tobacco in that hookah. And it's not the coal. They're supposed to come around and tap that coal every few, 30 minutes to tap off all the soot. So next time when y'all go do hookah and you pay attention, they're not doing that, but the coal is getting smaller and smaller.
And it's going through.
No, it's not. It's going in the air.
That too.
So like if you're in the hookah spot and your throat is burning, when you go home and you blow your nose and see how much soot is in your nose, it's so unhealthy.
Yeah.
And then you're not supposed to be smoking out the plastic. Because that plastic, all the microplastics going in your throat, it's supposed to be a wooden nozzle.
Teach them.
So I'm just like, y'all not doing hookah. Y'all are doing spooka.
Okay.
That's not hookah.
Spooka.
It's spooky. Yeah. That hookah is killing y'all.
Man, Mooney, you need to do some jingles. You got
jingles. Yeah, you sure need to do some jingles.
Can you jingle
you know,
us
jingles
a,
be
a break? Can you jingle us to a break?
Baller alert. Baller alert. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Stay tuned
with more of the Baller Alert Show.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're listening to a special edition of the Baller Alert Show.
What's up? It's your girl, Money Long, and you are now watching the Baller Alert Show on Revolt.
Money Long on the Baller Alert Show, made for me. Where did you come up with this?
So I did on the BET Soul Train Awards this past November, I did a rendition of Made for Me that had a bridge, which featured vocalists, choir vocalists, and my favorite vocalists. And I did the arrangement for that with a young man named Jawan, who's also singing, and Walter Millsap. And I just wanted, like, sometimes choirs can be a little cringy, right? But I felt like this song gave, especially those chord changes on the bridge, it definitely gave, like, praise and worship. Because I used to lead the praise and worship team, like, when I was heavy in the church, because that's all my mama would let me do. So I decided, like, okay, let me go back to my roots and bring that into the performance. And it was also probably one of my more simpler performances I've ever done. Because I'm like, okay, you know, the only thing you can do is if you keep going up and up and up, you got to bring it back down to bring it back up. Otherwise, it's just you're going to end up, like, hanging off the roof by your pinky toe. So
bars.
You know what I'm saying? So I had to bring it back down, do something a lot more simple. And then for the music video, I wanted to do something around Halloween where it was like Frankenstein, kind of, I lose my lover and then I go to the morgue and I get all these body parts and sew them together and make my perfect person. But that was a little bit too gory. And also, like, sometimes as a black female artist, you have to understand that while you might not be, because black women are not a monolith, there's emo girls, there's luxury girls, there's the hood girls, there's the bookworm nerdy girls,
the city girls,
mm-hmm. You know, so it's like there's so many different kind of black women, but what the general public wants to see from a black woman is a small set of things that they will accept. And so I kind of understood that, like, okay, even though that is going into like the sci-fi anime bag, everybody don't want to see that from me, so let me just temper it and like turn it down a little bit. So I teamed up with Trinidad James and Des Gray, and they tweaked my treatment to make it be AI, mm-hmm. robot, black people in tech. And so without giving you too much, basically the concept was that maybe if you know, when you think about the conversation on Twitter and Spiritual World posted a lot about relationships and the arguments that are happening between black men and black women and how people feel like the dating pool is piss. Thank God I don't have to do it, but you know, if you listen to what the streets are saying, it's hell out here. And so I remember maybe 20 years ago thinking, wouldn't it be cool to see the person that you're talking to on the phone, and then boom, we have FaceTime. And so I'm wondering, you know, just putting it out there, especially, I don't know if you guys follow like any AI pages on Instagram.
I'm scared of AI.
You're already using it.
No, I'm talking about AI is going to take everybody's job.
You're already using it. It's already
happening. I'm talking about the AI that they're trying to approve in the entertainment business, to where they trying to license our voices and face and all this stuff.
I mean, that just becomes a human rights issue, right? But you're using AI every day.
Okay, I like AI in their terms, but not the terms where they trying to legalize.
I will say Luke James played a good AI at the end when you put them back together.
Yeah, yeah.
Where did Trinidad James come from, too?
I've known him for a while. I was working with him as a songwriter-producer, and I saw that he was doing a lot of Sexy Red stuff. Mm-hmm. So he transitioned from just being an artist and being, you know, the representative to now assisting other people when it comes to like style, creating content, shooting videos. And so saw him doing his thing with Sexy Red, and I was like, man, that's good for you. And one thing about me, I never like to engage or reach out to people until I actually got something for you to do. So I put it on my list of, like, I really want to work with him on something. And I hit him, and he was like, let's go. I'm ready. And they, when I tell you, like, they really, like, delivered on everything that they said they was going to do. Because that's another thing is, like, it's priceless when you can find someone who can do what they advertise, right? Mm-hmm. And in this business, there's a lot of people who will say one thing, and then as soon as you get a little clout, get some success, they switch it up. And then, you know, they want to own everything. They want to take credit for everything. That's whack. Mm-hmm. That's very whack. But then there are some people, very few and far between, that if they say, I can get you this, they get it. They deliver. Sometimes they over-deliver. They deliver on time. They do it without complaint. Those are the people that you want to surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for
and
sure.
And Trinidad is definitely one of those people.
Okay. Is this a song leading into a project?
Absolutely. I have an album. I just finished it, actually. That's what I'm here for in Atlanta, to finish my project. I'm working with Tricky Stewart.
Tricky?
Yeah, he's executive producing it.
That's one of those right there.
I got songs with Tommy Brown and Mr. Franks, who did a lot of the Ariana Grande hits that we know and love. Teron Thomas, who did like a bunch of the stuff with Lizzo about Damn Time. He won Record of the Year, Song of the Year last year. He's nominated.
Rock City.
Yeah.
Rock City.
He's nominated for Songwriter of the Year this year at the Grammys. I've known him for years. He's amazing. And then The Dream, worked with him. And then Ku Correll, who does all like my background vocals and my vocal production. He also is part of the reason why I feel like we won Best R&B Performance for Hours and Hours at the Grammys last year. So, Dream Team.
I'm excited, yes, man. Damn. I'm yeah. excited That's about this because I love your voice. I like your style. Like, you have nostalgia in your voice, too, you know.
Thank you.
And I even like watching you perform. Like, that one performance that went viral when you're like,
You know, what did I do? I just be it. Having fun, man, being silly, and it's like, I gotta always keep that. I gotta always keep that. Because, you know, people like, they turn into a vibe. Now, mind you, if it's funny, I'm gonna laugh. It was this one dude that, he took that sound and he made it like when you get in the car and your seat's hot.
Yeah.
And it was like, that was funny. Yeah, remember
that's
that?
Good that you can laugh at yourself, though, because I feel like a lot of artists do not like the antics on social media.
But that's just because I know who I am. It's like, that ain't gonna hurt. It ain't hurt nothing.
But, you know, when the song came out, I was like, man, y'all are wearing this song out.
Oh, so you was one of the haters.
No, I
don't lie. That song made me think about my wife. It makes me think about my wife.
I love that song, but
they did wear it out.
No, I'm one of those people that would listen to a song 20 times in one day when I first hear it and when I really like it. But I don't want the internet to be playing it too. Like, I don't want to get on the internet. I'm like, I didn't listen to this 20 times in my car.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, blessing and a curse.
Mm-hmm.
Because while I'm super grateful, and a lot of times too, the way the industry's set up now, if your song is not doing that on the internet, they won't even, yeah, they pay you dust. So it's like, you kind of need it. But I only truly appreciate it when it's organic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I did not pay people.
The Made For Me is like organic, because I think a girl in some blue pants, blue
girl
pajama
in the girl
pants.
In the blue pajamas. It's a lot of beef going on TikTok about that, because it's two creators that one guy...
Uh-oh.
One guy named Ruben J, he made a parody making fun of my Soul Train performance, just like walking in the wind, because it was crazy cold and windy, so you know his wig is like doing like this, you know, it's super funny, super funny, and like he made it like kind of like the good Christian sanctified version. And then the young girl, Marie, she took it to the hood, you know, she was in TJ Maxx or something like that, and some pajamas. I almost bought those same pajamas from Target, but I got the green ones. And she was in there, you know, just like, she thugged it out a little bit, and that's what people are arguing about. Like, oh, she started it first, he started it first. It's like, guys, we all winning.
This is good engagement.
Yeah, you know, I'm not mad.
I love it.
They love fighting on TikTok.
I hope they keep making you viral.
I do got a question, though. When did this guy Shaka come into the picture, man? It's a good guy right here. This is a good guy.
I've been working with Shaka for maybe like 6-8 months now. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Something like six. Yeah. Always, obviously, been a fan from a distance. And him and Jeff really, like, take care of me. And it's hard for me, right, to listen to other people. Mm-hmm. Because I'd be worried, like, you're just trying to benefit, you know, in some way. Like, what's the catch? But they're not like that at all. It's like they can actually give me advice and give me the reason why mm-hmm. I shouldn't be doing it, or I should go this way versus this way. And we have a great chemistry where I trust them, you know, mm-hmm. and that's like, it's very important, especially being a woman, right? Yeah. You know, them working with Luda for all these years is totally different, right? I got to get hair and makeup, styling. Before I do anything, I gotta be looking right. I cannot go outside without makeup on. Or people are like, well, she looks sick. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I just look regular. Mm-hmm. So they understand that. They fight for me. As a performer, there are certain things that I need. Like, I went to the Shantae Moore concert last night, and she said it was hot in there. And I was like, it's just me. And then she said it. She was like, thank y'all for boiling for me because I can't sing with the air on. You know, just certain things like that where, like, you go into a venue and they don't want to cut the air condition off. So they blowing all this dust and cold air into your lungs. And then they expect you to go out there and sing for an hour and hit these, you know,
and it's drying notes. Your vocal cords. Is that why she said
drying
that?
Your vocal cords. But also, like, when you warm up, you're literally, imagine, like, you know, you're a runner, you're an athlete, and you warm up, you run around the track, and then you sit in the cold for 20 minutes. So now you're tight again and you can hurt yourself. That way, you know, so it's like, it's the same thing with a singer. I do all those warm-ups, and then you get ready to go perform on these award shows, and right before you walk on stage, there's air blowing right on top of your head,
yeah.
You know, and they got to keep all those lights cool. So you understand that, but at a certain point, you know, you need people back there like Shaka fighting for you to be like, hey, cut that air off.
Yeah.
5 minutes. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's very important, man. It's like those, just those little things.
You gotta hit
because
the notes
those
now.
Moments live forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, it might only be a 4-minute performance, but they're going to watch it over and over for years to come. So it's got to be right, you know? It's your legacy.
I got to say shout out to JD and B. Cox, man, because when I tell you, every Wednesday at Ladies of R&B, your songs are in rotation.
Rotation.
I love that.
Rotation.
You're just part of keeping R&B powder. Alive.
Thank you.
For real.
Thank you.
You catch that? They're in rotation. They're rotisserie like powder. Sorry.
Oh!
Get out!
Wow.
Get out!
Wow.
Powder.
What powder did to you?
Exactly.
I'm actually kind of sad about this.
Rest in peace, powder.
He mad. He.
That's why he said, oh, y'all didn't catch that one. I was like,
it's okay. He's in hog heaven.
Oh, yeah. Money Long on the Baller Alert Show. Before we get out of here, we do have to ask you for a pep talk.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Money Long. And my little piece of motivation for you is get up out that bed. Ain't no money in that bed. Get out there in them streets, line them pockets.
Can't get enough of Baller Alert? Follow us on all social media platforms at Baller Alert. Log on to BallerAlert.com.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah.
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.